Hey everyone, and welcome to season 2 of The Gathering, honest conversations about life, faith, and everything in between. Today in the studio, I'm joined with Morten, a member of The Gathering, as we speak about trusting God through the challenges, finding our identity in the Word of God, and getting up and not giving up. We really hope that you enjoy this episode, and please make sure you subscribe and share, and let us know how this episode has blessed you. Enjoy. Welcome to The Gathering.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're part of The Gathering.
Anyway, so. Yeah.
So before we get into everything, before we get into today's conversation, I'm just going to ask you, how did you find God? If you have found God, like, what did that journey look like? Have you always known him? Did you find him walking down the street like Paul one day? Do you want to tell us?
So I grew up in a Christian home, like lots of people. I grew up in a Christian home, but I wouldn't say I had a personal relationship with God. Even though, at the same time, I would say that I did, but I didn't understand it to the fullness. And I also specifically didn't understand grace. I think it was when I began to understand grace that I would say that my relationship with God really, really started. So, you know, I gave my life to Christ. I mean, I've done it so many
haven't
times.
Haven't we all?
I was thinking, just from memory, I would say at least when I was in year 10, I know that God and I were really, like, we were guys, like, you know, with my GCSEs, I remember, like, before my exams, my friends thought that I was trying to memorize, like, the readings, but yeah. I was actually, like, praying to God. They're like, God, you know, like, this is in your hands, you know, all those kind of things. And at this point in my life, I'd never gotten any really good grades. I'd never, like, I didn't think that, you know, I had what it took to, you know, be doing, like, the stuff that I'm doing now. But, yeah, I remember my GCSEs, and I got all A stars and one A, and I was like, oh, okay.
So someone went from not getting any good grades to having all A stars,
I was like,
all A's.
Jesus, guys, real. This Jesus guy is real. And, yeah, it just kind of, that was, you know, when you have, like, a real faith encounter, like an encounter with God, personal, where he really just meets you at your point of need. And that was what it meant. So many testimonies, at least in that beginning stage of my life, from going to desperately begging to be a prefect to becoming the first black head girl of my school.
Come on.
I was just like, okay, God, you're really with me. But that was still, I still didn't understand. Yeah. I was just getting the benefits of, reaping the benefits of faith.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really in relationship.
Yeah.
And then I took a gap year after A-levels, and I was bored. I mean, I was in Nigeria for like maybe 5 months, and like there was just all my friends on uni, and I was with my mom, and my mom was like, she prays all the time. So I was just like, okay, maybe I should just like read my Bible. And I started reading my Bible from Romans. I can never forget, every time someone asked me where they should start from, I always like, I'm like, Romans, because it really, really just hooked me.
Yeah.
And I read Romans, and I swear I read the whole of New Testament. Like, I wake up every morning, and I'd be like, I need to read my Bible. Like, it was such a, like, sometimes I'm just like, wow, I need to go back to that
place.
That
point.
It was such, I was very hungry for Jesus. And through my gap year, there was a foundation that was set up in that period of my life that I still lean on today. I mean, obviously, God is always, like, you know, adding things and, like, you know, growing us and all of that. But during my gap year, that was when I got to understand what it meant to have a relationship with God. And it started from, you know, going to church. I went to Hillsong over summer. Then I listened to Stephen Furtick from Elevation Church. Mm. I was just hearing different types of sermons that I'd never heard before, because I grew up in, both my parents are actually pastors as well. But I don't actually, anyway, that's just another story.
Another story.
But so I had that background. But I would say when I was around 18 was when I really got to know God for who he is.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's really it for me.
And you made a comment saying that you knew God, but you didn't understand grace. Mm. Like, how important do you think it is in your walk to understand grace? And why was that a big change for you in your walk?
I think, I mean, grace, wow. Grace really, it's like, it, like you said, it changes everything, because you start to see God as the loving Father.
Yes.
You no longer are scared to be in his presence. You no longer think that if you didn't do XYZ, then you can't, you know, you can't speak to God. Like, for me, when I understood grace, I understood that, like, mate, we're all flawed.
Yeah.
Like, we're actually all flawed, but God knows that. It's not because, like, it's not, when we're righteous that we come to God is because we are flawed.
Exactly.
That we come to God. Yeah. And so for me, I could then be in his presence. I could then, you know, come to him with all my burdens, even my flaws. I could come to him with the things that I was struggling with and say, okay, God, man, like, I don't really know how to do this. How do I overcome this sin? How do I do XYZ? And I wasn't speaking to him from a trembling perspective of like, oh, God is, you know, God doesn't love me, God, you know, God is condemning me, God is punishing me, God is like disappointed in me. I was speaking to him from, oh my God, God loves me, he wants to hear what I have to say, he wants to help me in this, his righteousness is sufficient for me, his grace is sufficient for me. And it just made the relationship easier. It's like when you have a relationship with your dad and you think he doesn't like you and you think he doesn't think that you're doing anything right, you wouldn't want to talk to him. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't want to be in his presence. You would literally tremble. Like, you would go to your room and you'd be hiding. But when you know that your dad is a loving guy, like, he loves what you do. He loves you in who you are. Yeah. And he just accepts you for the way you are, even though he wants you to grow and change. Then your relationship changes. Like, it happens in every relationship that you see on earth. How much more with God?
Yeah.
So that was it for me. Just understanding that, like, he sees me in a different way as to the way I thought he saw me
initially. And I think that's so important because it builds up on first understanding grace and then understanding like fearing God.
Yeah.
Because we live in this time of like, Jesus loves you, put your hands up and accept his grace. and that's awesome. Yeah. That's so good. But once you accept his grace, you start to then realize like his reverence and also you are God. So fine, like in that scripture it's like, don't abuse your freedom that Christ has given you. Like, you have the freedom of love, but then because you know your father loves you, you won't want to upset him. Exactly.
In fact, you have the power
exactly
to not upset him because the spirit is in you.
The spirit is in you now
to overcome the flesh.
Come on.
So
that's a sermon. Like, we're done.
No, but that, I mean, it's such an important it's an important shift. It's a shift in perspective. It really changes your relationship and the way in which you even just approach life.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I can't even talk too much. Like, you know, because I just think of myself before I understood grace and think about how, like, I really felt condemned. I really felt guilty about not praying or not being able to overcome X, Y, Z. But once I understood grace, I was like, it's Jesus and I, man. Yeah. We best friends. We out here just doing life. And, like, it just changes everything.
It changes everything. And you can have that intimate relationship with him.
Exactly.
When you realize that he doesn't want he's you for to be you. Far away from him.
Like, he's for you, to be not against in his prison, you. Kind exactly. of
thing. That's awesome. That's really good. And I think that leads nicely onto the blog and actually what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
So I guess for people that are going to listen to this podcast, Mo writes a blog. And so, will you tell us a bit about your blog? And then will you tell us a bit about this specific blog post?
Okay. Well, so I run a blog website. I don't even know what it is. It's like a blog, but on the other hand, it's like an organization. Anyways, it's called Tales of My Youth. And it really started from a place of, during my gap year, actually, I was just lonely. I was like lonely in my walk with God. I was lonely in my relationships with people. And I was like, I feel like there are other people out there that are lonely as well, and not just lonely in terms of like lonely in general, but like lonely specifically in their relationship with God and working it out, because it's not, you can't do it by yourself. Like, you need a support system. So for me, it was like creating an online community to empower other people not to feel afraid in their walk with God, to feel like they can do this even if everyone around them isn't. Because there's someone out there who is. And there were so many people, like, I mean, Shona, even Abiola, like, people like that, seeing them do what they do, it was like, okay, you know, there's, like, the people out there, they're doing it, and it doesn't, that like, I can't, my voice, too, is valid. And so, I started very random day, I'm not even lying, like, I was going to church, and my friend called me, she was supposed to be there, and long story short, I had to sit down and pray and wait for her, and I was just like, what do I do in my time? And I had my journal with me, and I just wrote my first blog post and my about page, and that's literally where it started. And since then, I've hosted so many events with so many women who, like, their vulnerability is just so powerful in the conversations that we have. People sharing their stories, people sharing things that's happened to them, and people also sharing their wisdom. Because for me, it's not like just me saying, oh, yeah, this is what I know.
Yeah.
And this is what God told me, so yeah, you should follow. No, it's more let's share. What do you know? What has God told you? How has God empowered you in your relationships, in your friendships, in your mental health, in your, you know, family dysfunction? Like, literally the whole range of topics. I am, like, just 20 and I generally do not know much. Like, I'm going to say a point, I'm just like, wow, I thought I knew, but I don't. So having that conversation with women, creating the community for people to feel like they can discuss this, these things, and also gain and then go back into their lives and exhibit the wisdom that they've been given. So that's essentially it.
Good. It's good. And I'm glad that you did it, because out of that came a newsletter that you sent out. And and I think I read over it like super quickly, because it's actually such an easy read. And God is in the bigger picture.
Yes.
So what does that mean? Number one, God's in the bigger picture. And how do you identify with that?
I guess for me, it was like seeing... So I started it off just thinking about how it might seem like God is missing in our everyday lives, because maybe things may not be panning out the way we want.
Mm.
But the Bible says that God is working everything out for the good of those who love him. So it's like, that's like a paradox. Like, how do you reconcile like God not being, like you feeling like God isn't here in the moments, because things in your life, like situations, are literally crumbling, but also like trusting his word that says he's working everything out for your good and he knows the plans that he has for you. So I was like, okay.
And just before, and we go through that every day.
Yes.
Oh, so
yes.
Let's make this a bit more raw.
Yeah.
Like, what were you going through at that time where you could, and like we've just spoken about your faith and your relationship with Christ. It's not the fact that it's absent in your relationship. You could feel like God's not there.
Yeah.
While you're going through stuff, even though you know that he's there.
Yeah. Even though you know that he's there, you're just like, God, are you really? I guess for me, it's like a lot of promises that God had given me. They just weren't panning out.
Yeah.
I was just like, but God, you said. Like,
so many people can relate to that.
I was just like, but you know, like, where did that go? But
you said. Like, you actually said. And then you started to think, like, did I make that up, Holy Spirit?
Oh, no.
Was it just me?
Do you know, I got to a point. This is actually where it starts. So I got to a point in my life where I started questioning my own Holy Spirit. I started questioning whether or not it was my desires that was shaping
what, like,
God's will. In quotes.
Yeah.
Or actually, God said this and I'm obeying what he has called me to do. So it's like, because in the circumstances in my life and situations in my life, I wasn't seeing the hand of God. I wasn't seeing things panning out. Like, the promise was X and my life was Z. Like, very, very different. I was like, does this mean that you didn't say what you said? Yeah. Or does this mean that you, like, this is not my purpose? But I knew that it was my purpose because... Or I know that it's my purpose because, you know, when God gives you a vision and he keeps fueling it.
Yeah.
Like, every time you want to, like, you know, give up, God is just like, nah, hold on a second. Sorry, I called you and you answered my call.
I think that is so key in answering what you said. Like, was that just me or was that the Holy Spirit? Because, you know, when you know it's just you and nothing's backing that up.
Yeah, it's
but
just
But with
you.
The Holy Spirit, like... God doesn't let things settle. God does not let things settle.
Do you actually know? It actually annoys me. I'm not joking. Like, facts. I actually get to a point. I'm like, okay, God. Like, I
get
know.
It.
Like, I know. But then, seriously, I don't even want a game because it's more like, no, because you actually need to understand that when he calls you and when you answer the call, it's not responsibility, but there's a weight.
Yes.
There's a weight that is put
on. Like the burden of God. And God is like, and you know why it's so important that he doesn't let us rest? Because he's like, with or without you, this is going to be done.
Girl,
however, because of grace, I'm going to allow you to be the one to do my will.
Mm.
And even till now, I just said that. It's like, God's like, no, I don't need you to do this thing. But for the sake of me as your
girl,
God,
you're preaching.
I'm going to let you do this thing for me. Hmm. And then he's like, and I'm not going to let it rest in you.
Yeah.
Because if I don't let it rest in you, you won't do it.
Yeah.
Because we are fickle.
Oh, girl. Like, if we could be lukewarm forever, we would be.
Yeah.
We would trust but not trust. Yeah. And we would trust but try and make it happen in our own.
Yeah.
Now, I just think for me, so that was what it was. It was me looking at my life and saying that, God, but you said, and trying to see whether, like, you know, like what that meant in my life. And so I got to a point where I was like, okay, it seems like God is missing in my everyday. So like, no, it wasn't just like just one promise or whatever. Mm. It's like the collation of promises that God has for your life. So like, you know, career, education, family, relationships, you know, health, all of those kind of things were crumbling. I actually, like 2018 for me was a year that I was just like, nah.
Very like, difficult.
They sent someone, and I hope you told them you didn't find me, because what, like, it was a year of a lot of loss for me.
Fine.
And so at the end of the year, I was just like, God, like, where are you? Like, where are you
and
in
did
my
you feel
everyday
like
life?
You could, did you feel like you were holding on to God 2018, even in that difficult time?
I had to.
Yeah.
Like, no option.
Yeah.
Because, I would have actually lost my mind. Mm. Because, like, you know when you get to rock bottom, it's like, for me, I had a give up or get up moment.
Yes,
it's either
I love that.
You get up and trust, or you just give up.
Give
and
up.
Give up could mean, like, the whole range of what giving up can mean. And I was like, I'm not giving up, because I know what I've been called to. I do not see it in any type of way in my life at the moment. But the vision, for me, this is why I love that Bible verse that says, write the vision, make it plain.
Yeah.
Because I journal.
What is that, Habakkuk?
Yeah, Habakkuk 3:5. No, don't quote me.
We'll get it.
2:3, I'm not sure. I don't know. Write the vision and make it plain. For me, because I'd written every time that God spoke to me, every time he encouraged me, every word he gave me, I write it down. I write letters to myself. I write everything to remind myself that, hold on a second, God said.
Good.
And so, in my rock bottom, in getting up, I had to go back to the things I'd written and say, you know what, you didn't dream this up.
Yeah,
this wasn't a mutu. This was God. And he led you here, and he would not bring you here to leave you. So yeah, I had to be like, okay, God is in the bigger picture. Like right now, he doesn't, like the bigger picture being my purpose, being the fact that he has a plan for me and he is going to fulfill it for me. And even in the details not being what I thought they would be, God is still there.
Yeah.
But it looks like the devil is the one in control, because everything is crumbling. But God says he works everything out, meaning that he already, like, he allows it to happen because he knows that in light of the bigger picture,
these things,
it does not derail anything.
Yeah.
So, okay, the devil, like, I mean, Job. I mean, I don't even want that Job guy, man. I actually respect you so much if you're listening.
He went through it.
And God knew that in the bigger picture, he's going to redeem. He's going to restore. So because of that, he said, you know what? Do what you want. I'm still powerful. I'm still God. There's not, like, there's quite literally nothing. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I'm like, in light of my purpose and God's promises for me, no weapon formed against me, except I allow it.
Yes.
And this is the important part.
And the allowing it maybe is the giving up that you spoke about. Because putting on the full armor of God means you wake up and you put on your full armor of God.
See, in fact, I have a book right now. I'm reading it. It's called Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer.
Yeah, that
this
book.
This book,
right.
It triggers me.
Everything.
Triggers. Yeah. I can't read. Like, I've been reading this book. God, I've been reading this book since January, and I read books quickly.
Yeah.
It's because the book is so powerful.
Yeah.
I can't just skim. I can't just go. I have to read it, stop, pause.
Dissect it. Yeah.
Apply it to my life and come back.
Yeah.
Because that putting on the full armor of God, that's quite literally the only way you can, like, when you have a huge call on your life, because the devil, he does not have unlimited resources.
Yeah.
So he's only chasing those ones that he knows
he
that.
He knows that he can, and he's relentless with those, that he's, small one. That small one, he's relentless with. Because he knows that it's not a lot. So he has to go
in. And he knows that his time is running out.
Yeah.
So for him, it's like, let me just try. I would throw everything at you just to derail you, because it's not, he doesn't see you as you. He sees you as you and the people that, because of you,
because
are going
of
to
you.
Be saved.
That's cool.
So,
that is the word. So, okay, so how do you then, in the pettiness, we'll call it the pettiness, the petty pains, right? How do you expand God? Like, how do you make that bigger? So when you do wake up and you feel depressed, or when you are failing your exams, or when you are about to be made redundant at work, and these things that just keep on, keep on going. How do you, what would you say, how do you expand God? How do you look at the bigger picture in that time?
So here's an example. So for me, in first year, I remember like I did a lot of internships, and I thought that, I'm a bad girl, you know, because also I'm Nigerian, I don't have a British passport, so I'm like, girl, you need to do what you need to do now, because if you want that tier 2 visa after you graduate, it's not a joke. See, this is the struggles that we face, you know, they don't like us in this country, so I was just like, so since first year I've been trying to like build up my CV. Second year came now, in fact, let's backtrack. End of first year, I didn't get a grade that I thought, this grade, I've never seen this in my life. And it things that it didn't make sense, because the whole of the year I'd been on a really good track record.
Okay.
But stuff happened before exam period that just, anyway, long story short, I didn't get the grade that I knew I deserved, and I did, whatever. But I was like, but still, God, you know, I have all this experience, you know, it's not as if I'm stupid, you know, I can hack it. I'm trying to hack it through. So many rejections here and there. I know, like, when I remember in first year someone telling me that they applied to over 50 places, I was like, you're a joker, how is that possible? I don't know. I don't know what number I'm at right now. And for me, I had to come to a resolve where, like, I was like, you know what, internship or no internship,
come on,
like, and you know what I've been called to do.
Come on.
They are, like, in fact, I heard this one day. There's a door in a room. There's no one way to get to the door. You can walk, like, you can walk around the room. You can walk through the middle of the room. You can walk to the side.
You can cartwheel.
Literally, there's so many ways to get to the place that God has called you to. So I said, is it really the lack of internship that is going to stop you from becoming who God has called you to be?
Yeah.
And I had to make that decision to myself that, my dear, it's just a plus if you get it.
Yeah.
It's actually just everything is added benefits. Mm. When God has called you, he would equip you for what exactly you need. So if it doesn't happen, then you didn't need it.
Yeah.
Like listen, you actually didn't.
If it didn't happen, then you didn't need it.
Honestly.
Because that, and I think that is so true, because when you look at the bigger picture, it's like, actually, so are we saying that it's not going to happen? Like,
no, genuinely. No,
like, that's all I need to know. Like,
genuinely.
Or am I saying that, okay, so if this thing doesn't happen, then it's tomorrow. Over. Then tomorrow God takes me to heaven then. Because
no,
what?
Yeah.
And then you think, actually, and I mean, we're saying this maybe in a point of hindsight where it's easier said than done. But even me right now, I'm in my little petty pain. Right?
Definitely.
So I'm in it now. And even talking to you right now, I'm thinking, okay, Oyin, that's so true. If it doesn't happen, what's gonna happen? Like, what's actually gonna happen? And I think so many people who are gonna listen to this are gonna be in their petty pain.
Yeah.
And they're gonna hear this and they're gonna be like, actually, just like you said, if it didn't happen, then you didn't need it.
I just think nothing disqualifies God's promise.
That's good.
Like, God says you're not the one that fulfills the promise that God has
given. Yeah.
He fulfills it. Nothing you do. Like, I literally had to get, I'm not big enough to say that God, what God said won't happen. Who am I? Like, you have to actually humble yourself. In fact, it's pride.
It's true. Pride.
Because you think, I'm too big. I'm big enough. Like, this internship is what qualifies God's promise to happen. But look at Abraham.
Yeah.
Look at Sarah. Look at, like, I always say to myself, Motu, what do you actually want from God? Because he's giving you a Bible, a word that tells you that this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
He didn't tell you everything's going to be. No, he actually told you that, look at my servants. Look at the people that have had faith in me. This was their journey.
Look at the journey that they had to take to, for the
bigger
picture.
And the Bible also says, greater works you will
do.
So, if I really want to do greater, who am I to think that?
Yeah.
Like, who am I to think that?
Yeah. And like what you said about pride as well. You know, that internship is great, but when you look in the depth of it, it's like, okay, is that really an internship? Because I know that's what's going to help me fulfill my purpose.
I want to tell people that. I worked at Goldman Sachs.
Come on. And then when you look at pride, I mean, we're talking about prioritizing a purpose and pleasure. Cool. But pride is so, and a lot of people think that pride is like, oh, I'm arrogant.
No.
Pride is saying that, actually, God, why didn't you use this thing for your plan? God's like, did I tell you how you were going to get there? No, babe, I didn't. So why do you think that it was that job? Why do you think it was that person? Why do you think it was you needed that amount of money to do that thing? Why
that
do you,
amount of money,
who
girl?
Told you? Who told you that it was going to be that? Because I didn't. And then you realise, like, oh, it was Instagram that told me that.
You know, I've actually come to a point in my life where I'm like, Mutu, the reasons why you are disqualifying the things that God has said to you is not because God is doing anything wrong or he's actually knowing. It's because there are other pictures, so other things that you are looking to for your confirmation. God has already given you confirmation. He's giving his word. You go to church every Sunday and you are still crying. Every Sunday you are crying because God spoke to you, yet you go back into your world.
Then it's Tuesday and you're rattled.
There's a Bible verse that says, that's enough. Now know that I am God. In fact, that's enough. Yeah. I need to stop there.
Is that when Moses was like crying? Was that when Moses?
I think so. I don't know. It's Psalm 46 verse 10.
Fine.
And essentially it's saying that, like, wait. Who do you think I am? Like, hold up. That's enough wailing, enough crying, enough. You know, it's not to say that, like, you know, there's another Bible verse I like. It says that your tears are liquid words, the words that God reads them. So I'm not saying you can't cry. I mean, I cry. So if you want to cry, you can cry. But you have to have a resolve of, I trust God. Yeah. I know what he said to me. And God is able, even if it's a case of, everything actually broke down. God restores. Yes. He redeems. So for me, I'm at a point in my life where it has actually broken down. There's no hope based on, hope.
And that's what God needs. Because God is like, in your weakness, I made strong. Like,
yes.
And like, it's even, Paul writes about it a lot. And he's like, you know, I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And you will not be able to boast in yourself. Because you will say that. You'll be like, nah, that wasn't
me. It wasn't me. Like,
and for real,
and
it wasn't
would
me.
Also see.
And people be like, nah, Oyin, Modern, I get it. It wasn't you because I was there.
Yes,
when
it was crumbling.
So,
I know that you don't have that power.
Exactly.
So please tell me about your God.
Exactly. And
that's
double up.
The point.
What you said, it's like when Moses, because I thought that scripture was
linked,
like Exodus, when Moses goes, he's at the river and he's like, God, like, what should we do? God's like, why are you crying out to me? Pick up your staff and put it in the sea. Because I've done told you, go.
This was my first, that what you just said was my first ever, sorry, my first event I spoke about and I said, God is asking, what is in your hands? What is in your, what have I already given you? So also in terms of like, when I'm in my pain, what helps me lift myself back up is looking at, I don't focus on what I don't have, what he hasn't fulfilled. I'm like, what has he given me?
Yeah.
What has he given me? And how can I use it today? So like with Tales of My Youth, for example, I'll be like, okay, yeah, some things are not panning out, but I have this idea, like I host an event. Do you get? Finding ways to use what God has already given you in your hands to pick yourself up.
Yeah,
because ain't nobody gonna do it for you, darling. Yeah. Like there's nobody, like, because we're all in our own fights.
Yeah.
So you have to know your weapons. Aside the weapons that God has already given us, we all have our individual personalities, our individual things, you know, our context of life. So within your context, how can you equip yourself to get back up?
Yeah.
Because the devil is relentless in his pursuit.
Yeah. And so, And that's what he said. He said the devil is in the detail.
Yeah.
So can we get from you how you use what's in your hands or how you pick yourself up? Like, because if the devil's in the details, and we said it, he's relentless. And that's what I've learned in 2019. That if the devil's gonna go 100, I have to go 1,000. Like, and that's what I realized. I was like, oh, I get it. The enemy's trying to get me to hell soon. Like, and they're not, and if he's not trying to get me to hell, he's trying to make sure that I achieve as little as possible here before I go. So he's in the details, and we know that. You said it, he's in the petty pain. So what do you do? I know you said you spoke about your book and stuff, but what do you do in that
I would say the first thing for me is perspective. So I change the importance of those details in my life. So it goes back to what we were saying earlier, like I don't give it the power anymore over me. So these things hurt. Yeah, but are they like, are they the determinant of my life or of the trajectory that God has called me to know? So that's where I have to start off with first. Then with that, I quite literally, oh, everything that I can find. So for me, I'm at a point in my life right now where I'm going to therapy. And this, at a, before, I would never have considered it. Like, me.
Y'all wouldn't have known.
Like, no, that ain't something I'm doing. Like, me tells them, I, no, we don't do that. But when you're on your knees, my dear, you
therapy, and it's counseling 2019. Guys, girl, please do it.
Girl,
do it.
It's a thing of like, beggars can be choosers.
Mm.
So you take like the help that God is offering you. If you're desperate to get out of your pain, you quite literally take everything. So for me, it's not easy. It's not easy. Even to pray in the morning is not easy. But I have to say, Motu, you want to be in a healthy place.
Mm.
You want your mind to be filled with God and not the devil and negative emotions. So you have to tackle it the way you know how. Yeah. The Bible has given you skills.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I go to therapy. In fact, Nathaniel Bassi did a year challenge. And I'm not one to, like, 12 a.m. is long. But I said, you know what, girl, you're desperate. No, you're desperate.
Yeah.
So you wake up. If you sleep, if you have to sleep and stretch, you wake up and you do that one.
Yeah.
It's not because you want the, because for me, I was like, at the end of it, I remember saying to God that, you know what, I don't even care if you don't answer any of the prayers. The fact that it has lifted me out of where I was before these 21 days is enough.
Yeah.
So for me, doing reading books, this basketball in mind, like I said, I don't take it lightly. And then even things like going to the gym.
Yeah.
Me, I didn't have a concept of gym before. Not have a concept. I'm telling you. For me, I thought, I'm skinny. There's nothing there. I don't need any, you know, if anything, I had to add weight. Girl, for me, I don't go to the gym because I want to add or lose. I go because of the sanity of my mind. In the morning, if I can't sleep, sometimes I'm like, I can't sleep. And I don't want to, because I can't sleep, be thinking and be worrying and be stressing. So I say, my dear, you better get up. In this cold weather, you better get up. You get up and you go to the gym. Like, but it says that, like, it's also having a good support system.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, support is so important because you need to have people who see God's call on your life.
In your
who
life.
See
yes.
the promise, and you can tell the promise and say, my dear, I'm actually struggling.
Yeah.
And I actually don't trust God the way I thought I trusted him. Like, for me, it's my mom. I call my mom way too many times. She's even, like, tired. But she's a, we are kind of each other's support system. So it's nice. But, yeah, we call each other. I tell her, you know, mommy, I can't lie. Like, this God, like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
But one thing, there was a sermon that I heard, and the pastor said, you don't want to look back in your life and say that was the reason you gave up. Like, because you look, you always regret it, of course.
Yeah.
Because in hindsight, nothing is as big as you think it was.
And everything passes.
Everything passes. So you don't ever want to look back and say, I gave up because I didn't get the internship.
Yeah.
I gave up because they laid me off. And so God is able. Yeah. He provides.
Yeah.
So having those, you know, the perspective, the support system, the thing, the practical things that you do, I think is, like, for me, at least so far, since end of 2018, that's what I've been doing. And it's not to say that everything vanishes.
Yeah.
Because also, I mean, there's a process of unlearning as well.
Yeah.
So for me, I also realized that I have unhealthy habits of worrying, of stressing, of even not trusting God, of just overthinking.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, it's not just doing all these things. It's not just gaining all this wisdom, but it's also unlearning the bad things that have caused me to be in the place that I am right now in terms of my trusting God. Yeah.
And those together creates capacity for God.
Yes.
You fill up and then you let out.
And you know, I never knew that. My word for this year in terms of what I want to do, Tales of My Youth wise, I want to do an event this year called Unlearned because I never knew that you had to unlearn. I mean, it sounds very silly because, I mean, of course, but I only thought about learning and gaining wisdom. Yeah. And so for me, I will buy all the books, go for all the conferences, spend all my money on gaining spiritual wisdom. So I got a piece of fat. I was fat with spiritual wisdom. But I was also filled with all the toxic things that were in my life. And they don't go together.
Yeah.
You have to, you like you said, to have that capacity, you have to remove to fill up.
Yeah.
So
that's... And just to make it more, like, just break it down, like, the unlearning. So for me, it was like, I thought it was really normal to, like, put yourself down, like, in your head, like
self-criticism.
I thought that was so, I remember, like,
same,
I would sit on the bus and I'd be like, you're so dumb, boy.
Yeah,
like, why would you do that? And like that, I thought that was so normal. Same. And I spoke about it on the previous podcast and I was like, And when I went to go see my counsellor, he was like, what do you say to self?
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, like, it's not that I just deep. Regularly just tell myself, and he was just like, yeah, no, like, no.
Yes.
You. And I was like, oh. And I was like, and I remember I used to say this as well, it's not the devil, it's me.
Mm.
So I would be like, no, because I know when the enemy is trying to put me down and I know when I'm putting myself down. He's like, no, no. Anything that is opposed to God's word is not... it's not of, if not God, then it's enemy. Like, yeah. That's it, point blank. And that's such a good example of unlearning. You should not sit down ever in your house, at school, everywhere, and just randomly think random bad things about yourself. But we do that, and then we don't talk about it. Yes. So people don't know that. So it's like, when you're thinking, okay, God loves me, God knows, God cares about who I am, God thinks
you
I am think strong.
That and have this, but you
and then
can't.
Really, I think, no, you're not strong, like, you're pathetic. You
cannot. You can't. They're mutually exclusive. You cannot.
Yeah, you can't.
I remember waking up and saying, no, it's not God that said this. No, I remember literally I woke up and I was like, this is not from you. The Bible says, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is true, think
of those things and meditate on it. Yes.
This is not good. This is not true. It's not in line with God's
word. It's not Christ-like. And so, that's so true, yeah.
But, man, it's a process. And I think also just knowing that, like, it is a process.
Mm.
Because a lot of times we get so caught up in results.
Yeah.
In, we want, not just we want the promise to happen or, you know, whatever, but we want to not care. We want to be at a place where we fully trust God that anything that comes our way is just bouncing off us. But my dear, you're human.
Yeah.
You're human. And I used to think, like, I used to not know that. Like, I used to think that I should be able to shrug it off.
Yeah.
I should be able to not care.
Yeah.
I should be able to, trust God. But if you keep on avoiding the emotions, the legitimate emotions you feel. And the reason why it's legitimate is because we live in a fallen world.
Yeah.
And for me, that, in fact, knowing that made me understand disappointment more.
Mm.
And made me understand why I'm actually desperate for God to come back.
Yeah.
Because that is what it is. We all have birth pains. We are waiting for God. So all the things that are happening in our lives aren't just disappointments in terms of life. But the disappointments in terms of we fell.
Yeah.
In terms of sin.
Yeah.
And so...
the absence of God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I've lost my train of thought. But essentially saying that, like, you know, it's okay for you to feel what you feel because it is an emotion. And, like, I like reading the Psalms because David felt what he felt and he expressed it. Not just David, even Jesus. Like, Jesus said, like, God... take this cup from me. And I feel like that a lot of times when it comes to, like, my purpose and, like, God's promise for my life. I'm like, God, like, I know that you're able to do this, but this is way too much. Can you take this cup from me? And obviously, if God did not take it from Jesus, he ain't taking it from me.
I thank God he doesn't.
Because
he
is able. And when you know, the pain, like, my mom told me that, she said, women, when they're pregnant, they want the pain to go, especially when they're giving birth. A lot of us are giving birth and we just don't know it. But we want the pain to go because it's painful.
Yeah.
But
in that,
but once they get that baby, when they hear that cry, they forget it.
It's gone. Yeah.
They completely forget it. Like, can you ask a woman now, oh, tell me, how did you feel? She may remember that I felt pain,
but
she doesn't feel the pain anymore.
Exactly.
So it's knowing that, like, there's going to be a day that you don't feel it anymore.
And so I like that about filling up and then unlearning, and that's important. That's your word for the year. And so, and just like you said, like, purpose and pleasure, because purpose is waking up at 12 o'clock in the morning to do a prayer for an hour, and no one wants to do that.
Yeah.
And purpose is making sure that you fill yourself up with the word and being in a good support system.
Yeah.
But you do that over pleasure, which actually sometimes is indulging in your pain and sitting there and feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah. So, very much so. I'm a testimony of that.
So in the unlearning and in the choosing purpose over pleasure, what does that look like for you?
I mean, getting up in the morning, as little for me, like, quite literally that.
Yeah.
Say, you know what? It's a tough day, but you're going to get up. If you are not able to pray in the morning, it's okay. God knows. He understands.
Mm.
Do what you can. If it's to watch a sermon. I used to be the kind of person that watch. I used to love sermons. I still do. It's just that my attention span, I don't know what's going on. But like, I used to watch loads of sermons, and it really used to fill me up. But I'm in a point in my life right now where that's not working anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm still trying to do what I can. So finding, you know, like worship sessions, like my church in Nigeria does like this thing called Shikere, and there's a thing online. It's 1 hour, like 20 minutes of like worship, and I just play it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, the atmosphere is changing. It literally changes my, so I know when I'm indulging, because I'm not doing those things.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Like, I also give myself a break, because like, if you're genuinely dealing with stuff, like sometimes it's actually not easy for you to wake up and, you know, just randomly just go and play, you know. Yeah. Sometimes like, it's just not easy. But also knowing that that does disqualify the fact that you're also in your healing process.
Mm.
So like doing the things, like I said, going to the gym, but being intent, like for me, it's just about being intentional. Yeah. I had to ask myself, do you want to go on? Like, do you want to go on?
Mm.
Or do you want to succumb?
Yeah.
Because it's a choice. Like, as a motu, because you can be a mediocre person.
Mm.
You can, like, you know, God can, he things that we say that God won't take it away, but I can't lie, he can. If if you really just say you don't want, I could stay in bed all day and let my life literally unfold.
Yeah.
And it will unfold, and you know, like, it's not as if, like, God is graceful, so you know, he can give, like, things will happen in my life, you know. I probably graduate from uni, maybe not as good as I thought I would, but I will still graduate. Yeah. You know, I will still maybe find a job. If I don't find a job, well, I don't know what will happen, but something will happen. Like, I won't just die if that's another opportunity, but like, you get but you know, life would happen.
Yeah.
But it's like, is that the life that I want?
Yeah.
Based on all the dreams, all the visions that he's given me, is that really what I'm going to choose for myself? I had to say to myself, Motu, no.
And so what would you say to someone who felt like they didn't have a choice? Because I remember sometimes feeling back in my youth, where I felt like there wasn't an option of a better life. Because I didn't, it was told to me, but I didn't see it.
Mm.
So what would you say then?
I think for me, it's just keep on going. Because even, like, in fact, the whole, what I started off saying in terms of, like, situations, like, I know that there is a better life, but I don't see it.
Yeah.
Like, in my life, I'm like, nothing, absolutely nothing is panning out. And obviously, better is relative to who you are, you know, specific situation.
But,
like, I don't see it. But it's about trusting God. I'm telling you, it all boils down to, do I trust that he can?
Mm.
Not just that he can, but he will.
He will.
And in your saying, okay, yes, I trust. I just take each day as it comes.
Mm.
I say this morning, like, I wake up in the morning, I'm like, today, this is what I have to do today. Like, that may or may not involve 1 hour, 3 hours of prayer.
Mm.
Most likely may not, but... You know, like, I take each day as it comes, because I know how it feels to not feel like you have a choice. But you have a choice to get back up. And that's in your everyday actions, if you get me. So, like, literally just waking up and, like, letting the day unfold, knowing that God is with you.
Yeah.
And that he's for you. And that he will do what he said he would do. Even if it doesn't look the way you think it was going to look. Stephen Furtick talked about being in a prison of what you thought would happen. And I think a lot of us are in that prison.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So. And so, we've covered so much.
Yes.
So much. Interesting. Yeah. So interesting. So, Matthew 16:24-26.
Yes.
It says that we must deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow God. And then gaining the world and losing the soul. So, like, what does a man gain? So, yeah, we must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow God.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in the petty pain.
It is.
That is.
No, it's.
So, yeah, what? Go on.
I think it's just the thing of, like I said, like, it goes back to trust, but it's the thing of, like, what do you really want? Do you really want what God has to offer, or what the world has to offer?
Yeah.
Because both are, in quotes, nice. Like, yeah. What the world has, I can't lie, there are some nice things out there that I can't lie I would like. But it's knowing that that's not going to fill me up.
Yeah.
And that even when I have that, there's going to be a void.
Yeah, always.
So knowing that actually what I'm denying is not actually pleasure or myself. It's dying to self so I can find true self,
yeah,
if that makes sense. So even though I'm going through all that I'm going through now and all these things are happening, I always say to myself that I can't lie, the things that I'm finding out about myself right now and the things that I'm learning are worth this happening.
Yeah.
Because what I know now and what I've been equipped with now is what is going to sustain me in this walk.
Definitely.
And in terms of dying to self and taking up your cross, it's like deciding that I'm not gonna, like, so for example, for me, my church is, I live in Coventry and my church is in Birmingham, and like I have to go all the way to, and I know that that's where I get my word from.
Yeah.
I know that that's where my spirit is. That's where, their church is around me, but I just, my spirit doesn't resonate with them. Not that they're bad, but it's just not my home.
Yeah.
And it's like dying to self by deciding that, okay, because my church is in Birmingham, I have to wake up in the morning. I have to make the decision that, like, sleep, it's not as important as what is going to feed my soul.
So, yeah, definitely.
So, in your everyday decisions, I mean, don't make it too deep. Like, oh my God, everything you want to do, you know, say, oh God, is this? Like, no, it's just when you live with the fruits of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit in you, then it's easier to, like, not overthink. It just, it comes naturally. Yeah. But it's just the thing of, like, deciding that what my soul, like, what is important for my soul is more important than what is important for my body.
Yeah.
And what is important to the world is not as important as what is important to my spirit in terms of my relationship with God.
100%.
And obviously it's not easy, but that's where the support system comes from.
Exactly. Like, you can't, anyway, that it just, it, like, the rhetoric of, I don't need to go to church. I can do this by myself.
No,
it's, like,
can't.
It's like, and that for me is like, and I'm not trying to put it out there, but it's like, do you read the Bible? Because who in the Bible ever did their walk by themselves? Like, genuinely, I just want to know. Because you say you read the Bible, but you didn't go to church. But not once, I don't know one person in the Bible that did that walk by themselves. Like, they just didn't. And so,
like, we're created for a relationship.
Yeah.
And the reason why relationship is so important is because, let me tell you, this world is broken.
Mm.
And if you deep that this world is broken, you will lose your mind.
Yeah.
So, in that space, you have to have someone else who understands that this world is broken, but they have that connection with God. So that when you are down, that person can speak life into you. Same with the person, when that person is down. Because if you are living it by yourself, it's only your mind. And your mind, like, it's actually a battlefield. And the devil he's actually taking ground in a lot of us' minds because we've never questioned the things that we think.
Unlearned.
We've never unlearned. So because of that, in your mind, you are thinking negative thoughts that are reinforcing your pain, reinforcing the bad things, the brokenness of the world. And there's no light anymore. Yeah. It's just darkness. And you need someone else
100%
to be the light in that situation.
And I like what you said about taking up your cross is so hard. And it's like that scripture, fight the good fight of faith.
Mm.
God didn't say, oh, skip through the good skipping of faith.
My dear.
He said, fight the good fight
because
we're fighting. And taking up your cross, like you said, I have been able to achieve that with less like agony and less burden with other people that are holding my cross with me.
And
in the bigger picture, like you said, when you have people who are like, no, Oyin, because you told me 2 years ago in July that you said that God said so today in 2019, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, so it all ties back to Christ, obviously, but to your bigger picture, like, which ultimately isn't even for us. Like,
it's, oh, it's not.
And like, and like, and I always say this to my friends, like, I'm not taking up my cross for Christ. Mm. He's sitting on the throne. Like, he's, wow. But because of,
it's a privilege.
It's a privilege. Like I said, like, God doesn't need us. Yeah. He just says, because of mercy,
I'm letting you in on this.
And because of grace, mm-hmm. I'll take you through it. Yeah. Like, that is literally it. And so, that scripture that you put in your blog, and when I read it, I was like, yeah, like, you better take up your cross and follow me, because that's the only way.
Yeah.
That, like, you can't walk with God and think that you're not going to fall, you're not going to be battling with petty pains or the relentless enemy. Like, you will. Yeah. That's why God's like, pick up your cross, because that's the battle in itself.
No, it,
like,
is.
To pick it
but
up.
But he's equipped. I think for me, it's just, you know, we see God in a very unfair light, because the truth of the matter is that, like, he actually gave us the weapons.
Yeah.
Like, he actually told us, he said, sis, in this life, there will be trouble.
Yeah.
But take heart, I've overcome the world.
I've overcome the world, yeah.
And then he says, you know, put on your armor. So he's actually told us what to do. Yeah. He gave us the, like, imagine there was no Bible now.
Yeah.
I always think to the fact that, like, the people in the Bible, they didn't have a Bible.
Yeah.
So we were lucky.
Yeah.
We better not take it for granted.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Motsu, my dear, I can't read it.
Literally. Okay, cool. So, yeah, I need to re-listen to this.
Yeah, because, same. Yeah, no, but this always happens to me. Like, I don't think before. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, you kind of, like, plan. Yeah. You think. But, like, the Holy Spirit is real.
Yeah.
In that he speaks through you.
Yeah.
Because he cares about the people listening to this. And he cares about the person on the other end who is, 100%. You know, tired and wants to give up etc. And he's like, my dear, I have a word for you.
Yeah. And it's coming in there. So, one piece of advice that you'd give your younger self, what would it be?
So I thought about this and I said, stop trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, I have, for the longest time, tried to figure it all out. Like, I'll be like, okay, X, Y, Z needs to happen for this to happen. But no, that's not how God operates.
Yeah.
He's never, ever, like, given all the breadcrumbs. It's faith. Like, faith is about, like, trusting the unknown.
Yeah.
So stop trying to, because the moment you start trying to figure it out, all out, I can't even speak English today. The moment you try to start figuring it all out is the moment you start to disqualify things that God qualified.
Mm.
You start to worry, you start to say it's not possible, and that's where doubt comes in. And so just give up on that. Like, just let it go, because it doesn't do anything for you. Yeah. And that's where worry, like, the anxiety, the worry, the stress, the doubt, the second guessing that comes with always having to know.
Yeah.
Like, you could have started something like 3 years ago, but you started 3 years after, because for 3 years, and then obviously it affects your mental health.
Out.
Let's just be real, it affects your mental health. Yeah. So that's another minus.
Yeah.
So just trust God. Like, it's gonna work. It's like, God fulfills his promises. Mm. You don't fulfill the promise.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's good. Thank you.
Thank you. This has been really good. Yes. Like, so many gems for myself and to re-listen, and just me too. I just need to just be in the zone and just let it wash over me as well, because I need it.
I need it. Okay, cool.